No, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here in this room. We thank you, Father, that you have a plan and purpose for their life. And we thank you, Father, as we go to minister your word. We thank you, Father, your word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and lives of each and every person here. And Father God, help us not be selfish with the word, but help us to go out to the highways and the byways and take that word and minister to people who are down and out and hurting. And Father, we thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place. And Father, we thank you that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability. And today, as we minister, we thank you, Father, they won't see me minister, but they'll see you ministering through me. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that is big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way. We thank you, Father, for giving us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you for that anointing that's present here today. We thank you that the anointing will saturate us and lead us and guide us. And we thank you, Father, right now for mom and dad as they're there in England today and headed to Israel tomorrow. First of all, we thank you. Everything will go perfect with the airplane. No problems whatsoever. We claim the 91st Psalm of each and every one of them. We thank you for safety as they travel, as the group travels as well, on the way there, on the way back. Thank you. They'll have a wonderful time of you know, being able to see the Holy Lands. And also, they'll get some rest and relaxation at time while they're there. And we thank you. They'll come back charged up, ready to go. We just thank you for everything you have done, everything you are doing, both here and around the world. We give you the glory, honor, and praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight I was going to do part two of a series I started a few weeks ago, and I'll probably do that next week. But I'm going to speak along the same lines as I did this morning to the church there in Broken Arrow. Two reasons. One reason, the live stream went out halfway through, so some of you who did watch the live stream missed the second half of my message. Secondly, it was on my heart right now, and I just wanted to share with you when it's, you know, something's on your heart, you kind of want to share when it's fresh and, you know, fresh and new. And I was just really, you know, like I said, everybody does things different and gets messages a different way. But, you know, me, a lot of times I get messages based upon things in my own life, what's going on in my life. And I'm thinking, well, you know, if I'm thinking about it's going on in my life, maybe it's going on in somebody else's life as well. So, you know, the other night I was talking to my wife, and she sent me a text message third hand about one of our friends who was a traveling minister who was ministering at a place and had some stuff happen in the middle of his. I don't really know exactly what happened, but I'm by the third hand message, it sounds like in the middle of his message, he had some people that kind of disrupted his message and really kind of doing some things that are almost demonic or whatever. And, you know, my first thought, and I got the text message, I was at the races, and so I was more concerned with the races than I really was about my text message, but I'm like, man, I don't wonder what the guy did, you know. And so then, you know, it kind of, later on, I was talking to my wife, I said, well, you know, what did he do, you know, about that situation? Well, I said, well, I don't really know, because she texts back the person who texts her, and they text back the person who texts them, but they never got an answer, so I still don't know what he did. But then my next thought was, what would I do in that situation? And then all of a sudden, it kind of hit me. I kind of got checked by the Lord, because I was trying to figure out what I would do in a situation where I was ministering. And, you know, the Lord actually brought to my attention, aren't you a son of God? Well, Romans 8:14, most of you probably know what the scripture says. Romans 8:14, but you can turn there with me and we'll read it. It says, Let's skip back here. It says this. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you know what? If I'm a son of God, then God's going to lead me and guide me to help me in that situation, and going to give me wisdom to react and to say the right things at the right time to the right people in such a way, I believe, that it won't be as less confrontational as can be, but also will take care of a situation. You know, and this course obviously says sons of God, but it could mean daughter of God as well, you know, children of God. And the thing about it is, the whole point was, why am I asking what I would do? Because it shouldn't be about me, it should be about God. You know, what would God do? Or what would Jesus do in that situation? I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, I found out that when we go through situations, we're trying to figure out what we should do, when we should let go and let God. Because a lot of times when we're facing situations, we don't know what to do. You know, we've never maybe experienced that before. We've never got to that situation before. Or maybe we had and we didn't know what to do that time either. You know, the Bible says where we are weak, he's strong. You realize, the Bible says that Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above and there's no other. Jesus is the way. You know, the song we sing. Well, he's the answer to all our problems. You know, so he can help us. You know, we pray about the Holy Spirit's going to lead us. And guys, that's why it says, you know, when I go, I send another comforter. And he's going to lead me and guide me. Now, sometimes what we think in our mind, you know, we've used this scripture. You know, there's a Christianese people will say, well, just be led, brother. You know, but usually we kind of in our own minds think being led is taking time to pray about something, you know, and get an answer. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we need to do that. But sometimes we don't have time to pray about some situation. But God's not going to leave us out in left field. You know, when there's not time to pray, we can still ask him and he'll lead us. You know, I don't know how many times that I've had to go to a hospital or I've had to go to some family members' homes that had just lost a loved one or go to a hospital, like I said, and, you know, whenever someone has just been diagnosed with terminal cancer and given up basically to die. And, you know, unless you've been in that situation, you don't know what to say. And, you know, I can maybe think that I can empathize with that, but I can put my, you know, worst situation and it's still not that. Now, if I've been there before, it's a lot easier to, you know, to be a minister. Like my dad even said, he says, you know, it's interesting now because even though I've always had a lot of empathy on people who've lost their parents, you know, especially when, you know, it was more harder on him when he lost his dad than it was his mom because he wasn't expecting as much. His mom we kind of expected her to go at the time and said, but, you know, I always thought I had a lot of empathy for the people, but whenever I lost my own dad, I can help him better now. You know, because I've been there and I've done that, I know exactly how they felt. They feel, I know their emotions they're going through, you know, and things like that. And so unless you've been there, sometimes it's hard to know what to say. I mean, I remember one day had to go to the hospital and there was a baby was their firstborn son. And when they were delivering, the umbilical cord wrapped around the neck and choked the baby to death. You know, and the sad part about it is I just, my son was only a few months old and almost everywhere I went. In fact, the sad part about it is they asked me how my son was doing, you know, and it was just so hard because, you know, they're asking me about my son. And so and that was my firstborn son as well. And I didn't want to share the joys of my son because, you know, what they were going through, you know, and I was like reluctant to answer their questions, but I felt weird. But you know, they asked, "What am I supposed to?" So it was, you know, you don't know what to say sometimes. But you know what? God will lead you and guide you. You know, but notice it. You know, my wife said something, and it is true, but it's not true. It's true. She said, "Well, you know what? If you're up there preaching, then you're definitely, you know, you're in the Spirit, so the Spirit will lead you." But you know what? Whether I'm preaching or not, I'm supposed to be in the Spirit. And it says sons of God, doesn't say preachers of God. Notice that. Because Romans 8:11 says right here, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Or the King James Version says quicken your mortal bodies. And we've all read that. But it says the same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead also dwells on the inside of you at all times. Not when you're preaching. It's not like, see, you have a different spirit when you're preaching and another one when you're not. It's the same Spirit. I have the same Spirit you have, whether I'm preaching or whether I'm not preaching. Now, sometimes we see people, they look like they're more anointed when they're preaching from the platform, but that doesn't mean the Spirit's any different. Now, sometimes that we think that there's a difference. But you know what? God can heal you in church and God can heal you in your bathroom. Amen. You know, because the Spirit's the same. Now, sometimes the only thing different is our own faith. For whatever reason, we have more faith when we're in a church building than we do when we're at our own home. And, you know, it's just our lack of faith because for whatever reason that I don't know if there's a comfort zone or some, you know, someone, it's like my blood pressure. This is kind of weird. A lot of people, when they go to the doctor, the doctor always says, when they come to the doctor, the blood pressure goes up higher. My mom does that. She gets nervous when he goes to the doctor. When I go to the doctor, my blood pressure always goes down. And I think there's safety. If something happens, he's right there. Because even when I've had some high blood pressure, it was the lowest time I'd ever get a reading was not in the morning, it was at the doctor's office. And, you know, it was like, because I don't know, it was high all morning. And he went, come here, and he said, he must just like you. So, but, you know, I don't want to camp out at the doctor's office all day long either. And it's just, I guess there's always, you know, I don't get stressed out when I'm at the doctor. At least I'm right there, doctor. If something happened, he's right there, you know. And sometimes that's how we feel. We go to church and relax. And we get back home, and we're not relaxed anymore. Because some of the things hit us upside the face. We start wondering, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? But, you know, we should never think, what are we going to do? You know, because if you don't know what to do, you call upon the Lord. Why? Because he loves you. He cares about you. He's ready, willing, and able to help you 24/7, all the time. And he wants you to be blessed. You know, but all we have to do is call upon his name. We don't have to pray for a long time. Now, I believe that there are times, you know, there are situations where you have time to pray about such situations. Most certainly, take some time and pray about it. In fact, you shouldn't make any major decision without praying about it. You know, I don't care. You go and the salesman says, well, you know, if you don't buy this car today, someone else might come and buy it out from under you. Oh, well, that's fine. I was telling him, great. You know, I haven't really shopped yet. I don't know if I really want to buy this car. I might not, you know, my theory is, well, if this car is gone, then there's a better one out there for me somewhere. Maybe it's on your lot. Maybe it's not. You know, I never let high pressure salesmen pressure me because, you know, it doesn't really matter. Plus, we live in the internet age, you know. Well, you're not going to find another one of these things anywhere in America. Oh, yeah? I'll come flip online on my iPad and show you there's five of them, you know, in Tulsa. And I can buy two of them used on eBay. So, yeah. With free shipping, yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, I don't let anyone pressure me. And you know what? The more pressure they put, the more I decide I'm not going to buy. In fact, I've actually went out of the way, paid more money even before to buy it from someone who's not high pressure like that or trying to, I don't like it. You know, it's just not, just for whatever reason, not I like. But, you know, the thing about it is, it doesn't matter where we're preaching or not. The same Spirit's, you know, with us. Doesn't matter whether you're a preacher or you're a mechanic or, you know, or you're a manager of a restaurant. It doesn't matter. The Spirit of God's there. And you know what? God is, he's concerned about what you're going through. You know, but we get all wrapped up on what are we going to do? Have you ever asked, what am I going to do in a situation? We have a lot of liars. How many people are liars in this place? Because I know every one of you at some point in time has spoken those words, what am I going to do? Or how am I going to get through this? Because your mind starts racing, what are you going to do? You know, and I believe in education. I believe in educating yourself. But you know what? It don't matter how highly educated you are. At some point in time, you're going to get to a point, it's out of your control. You don't have any control over it. And sometimes somebody else is in your control. I mean, have you ever gone to to some kind of appointment to meet with somebody, you know, and they're going to make a decision, maybe it's whether you get your house loan or a car loan or not or whatever, and you feel like you're at their mercy, and you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know how to say the right things or, you know, to plead my case. But you know what? We need to relax and let God. Amen. You know, let the Spirit lead us. You know, a lot of times we get to so point, we get all worked up, that we're all worried, we get all depressed. That's not God. You're only depressed because you're trying to figure out in your own strength, how are you going to handle it? And it shouldn't be about you. It should be about God. Because your God is able. He's able. He's able to handle it. And you know what? The Lord knew this, and that's why that he sent the Holy Spirit to be there, to be with, to be our God, to be, you know, we wouldn't even have the words be led if it wasn't the Holy Spirit's being with us. He's with us at all times. He says he's our comforter, our counselor, our standby, our intercessor, all these things. I mean, he's our like multi-tool. You know, you see these pocket knives that you got everything, you got a saw, you got a spoon, you got all these kind of, you ever seen those big, you know, flashlights, and now they have those LED things in there, and you can blind you, you know, and maybe you have one of these ultra ones with pepper spray comes out the other side and a toothpick over here on this side too, you know. Well, the Holy Spirit's like your multi-tool. Man, whatever you need, he's there. I mean, you know, he's your comfort, he's your standby, he's your intercessor. I mean, you know, he's right there. You know, and I think even for the first time I actually thought about it, is that we don't have to sit and pray a long prayer. You know, just ask, because there are times things happen. We need an answer immediately. You know, if you got 1,000 people sitting in the out there, and they're trying to figure out, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because I guarantee you, all of them were looking at this guy and thinking, what are you going to do? And I know this guy. It wasn't even about him. I know that, you know, he was like, you know, I'm sure he took care of it, because I know him enough that he was figuring out what God would have him do. Because you know what? I don't know the situation. I don't know exactly what went on. But, you know, God's in control. That's what you remember. God's always in control of every situation. You know, I've had all kinds of things happen in my life that I thought would never happen, should never happen. They did. Now, many people, what they do is they sit around trying to figure out why they happen. But figuring out why is not getting me out of my situation. Do you realize that? Now, this is Craig's theory, okay? Get out of your situation, then figure out why. Get out of your situation, then figure out why you got to begin with, because you know what? Here's the deal. It don't matter why. What matters is you're in a bad place. Get out of your bad place. How do you do that? Call upon the Lord. Just tell God, hey, I need help. Help me. Help me. Now go to James chapter 1. I love James. James, the first chapter, second verse. James 1, 2. And really, I'm going to get to James 1, 5, but I just like reading James 1, 2 because it's one of my favorite things to read. So I don't want to get to James 1, 5 until I read James 1, 2. All right. James 1, 2, and New King James says this: my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, you know what? It doesn't say it's going to be joyful. It says act like it's joyful. Now, here's the deal. Going back to the being led thing about it, you know what? In our life, we're led more by emotions than we are by other things in our natural life. And so a lot of times that we feel in our spiritual life, if we don't have an emotional feeling there, it's wrong. No, we shouldn't be moved how we feel, whether it's a positive feeling or a negative feeling. God's not emotional, all right? And so when it comes down to our joy is emotional because, you know, but sometimes we're feeling the wrong kind of emotions. We're feeling sadness because things don't look good. But James here says, you know what? I know you feel sad, but get glad anyway. Or a modern translation is don't worry, be happy. You know, I found out a lot of times when you're going through situations, it's out of control anyway. You don't know, you don't have an answer. There's nothing you can do, and crying is not going to help. I mean, you know, I got to points I'm like, I don't know what to do. I mean, in my own strength, I don't know what to do. But praise God, you know, well, one thing actually the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? It says where we're weak, he's strong. So you know what? Get out of your own strength. Let go and let God. Now, what I really want to get is verse 5, because this is really what happens. Whenever you're going through something you don't know an answer for, then you need wisdom, right? And so it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it would be given to him. So whenever you need wisdom, ask. Now, understand, most of the time we read this and we're thinking, well, if I need wisdom about a situation, I need to go around and pray about it, maybe fast, maybe give a big offering or whatever. But sometimes you need wisdom immediately. You need immediate wisdom. You don't have time to pray about it for 40 days and 40 nights. I didn't say, there's not time to pray about it, but sometimes you need instant wisdom on a situation. There's something happening. You need to make a decision. So God can't do that? See, we kind of on our own minds think, well, you know what? If I have enough time, God can answer my questions, but because I don't have enough time, I'm going to make my own decisions. No, ask God. Ask God, and he'll give you the answer. Now, when you ask him, though, it continues on to say ask in faith, because it says, verse number 6 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So when you ask in faith. So what do you mean? What's that mean? When I ask for wisdom, I believe God's going to give it to me. If I need immediate wisdom, I should get an immediate answer, right? Because my God loves me. Now, let's read this from the New Living Translation, because it's incredible some of the words that are said here. First, I'm going to start at verse 2. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. An opportunity. My grandfather would always say, when he was going through some battles, he would say, it's another opportunity to show how good my God is. Another opportunity. Another opportunity for God, to show how good he is. And so, consider an opportunity. The devil's not going to win anyway, so you can just laugh about it. Skipping down to verse 5, though, I love it how it says this. Verse 5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. Our generous God. And he will give it to you. Now, here's the deal. A lot of times we, in our own mind, think, well, God is only going to meet our needs if we've been good. All right, folks, God's not Santa Claus. I know you got singing the song, Santa Claus come in town, whether you've been naughty or nice and all that kind of stuff. God's not Santa. He's a generous God. Now, sometimes, people think, well, I've seen people do this. They think in order to get a need met, they have to put an offering in because, God has to get some kind of share. They think God's like people. What's in it for me? You're going to grease my palm, I'm going to grease your palm. No, God's not like you. God loves you unconditionally. He's a generous God. It's not about what are you going to do for me, and then I'll do something for you. That's not how God works. God says, no matter what, just ask, and I'm here to give it to you. Now, one thing I don't like people, especially if I understand if you're a businessman, but I've seen Christians always like, well, what's in it for me? I'm thinking, you're a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. What do you mean, what's in it for you? Don't you want to just be a blessing to this person? What's in it for you? No, I understand there's business deals that you have to do. Business deals are different than blessing deals. But sometimes people need to treat business deals, and I'm not talking about there are some times that someone comes to me with an opportunity for a business deal because they need help in a situation. I'm saying, let me just bless you. I don't want it back. Let me just bless you, You know what? Because it's more blessed to give than receive anyway. And I'm not thinking, well, what are they going to do for me? Well, am I going to get it back with interest? No, it's not about that. And I even told some people, I said, now there's been some times I said, I need it back. I don't want no interest, but I don't need it for a couple of months. I've been putting this money aside for something in a couple of months. So I want it back, but go ahead and use it now because I was just my bank account ready to, waiting for me, but I need it back. But I'm very clear on those situations. But most of the time, if I have the wherewithal to do it, I'll just bless people with it. Why? Because you know what? That's how I am. It's not about what's in it for me. What's in it for me is being selfish a lot of times. There are times, but God's not what's in it for me. It's not about that. Because I know that some people won't ask God because they're afraid God's going to say no. But God will never say no. He can't ever say no. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Ask what you will and you shall receive. Ask what you want. Now, he's a generous God. He not only gives it, he gives it to us pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's our God. You know, our God is just waiting for you to ask. I believe he prides himself, in whatever you ask. I think it makes him proud. You know, there are some times that I get proud of my kids, even though I know they're facing something and they have to ask me to help them. You know, I'm just glad that they came and asked. You know, because I don't like watching them struggle. I'd rather them just ask me. You know, and sometimes, you know, it's hard as your kids get older. You don't want to be about their business. You don't want to tell them everything to do. But a lot of times I sit there, you know, and all they got to do is ask me and I'll help them. You know, but, you know, I want to let them grow up too. So there's a fine line between that. So, but all we have to do is ask. Now, verse 5 goes on to say, he will not rebuke you for asking. There is no dumb questions with God. Man, you need wisdom, ask him. But you know what? That goes for everything. Just ask him. He's not going to get mad at you. He's not going to say, well, you're not very smart, are you? You know, I'm going to call you a big dummy. Just ask. God wants to help you. You know, every time. He wants to help you. It goes on to say, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God. In God alone. All right? And that's Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. All right? Believe in him. You know, only believe. All things are possible to him that believes. Just believe in him. Believe that God is. God's able to do it for you. So our faith is in God, not in us. Quit trying to figure out how you're going to do it. You know, a lot of people trying to have faith in themselves. Well, if I just try hard enough, I can do it. No, that's humanistic faith. Have faith in your God. Your God doesn't have to try to do it. He will do it. He has done it. He's always for you. It goes on to say, do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they're unstable in everything they do. But, you know, I like the part, I don't really like the part, but it says some people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You realize that if we're in faith one day and the next day we're not in faith, the next day we are in faith, the next day we're not in faith, then we shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. It's biblical. It's the Bible. All right? The Bible is God's word speaking to you. So, you know, understand that just believe. Faith is unquestioning belief. You just believe. Now, you know, my grandfather, like I said, first of all, he always said, hey, he's a stickler for the word. You know, you got to go to the word. No, if you're looking for an answer, go to the word. The word provides all the answers. It's right there in the word. But, you know, said that God says that I believe and settles it for me. So he never questions. Well, you know, once he's asked, he always knows that his God's able. I mean, he was, you know, when that's, you watch him and watch his faith, and, you know, it inspires your own faith. Because he never questioned. Why question it? Why question God? To say it's not going to happen is questioning God. You know, and a lot of people are, you know, instead of being in faith, they get in depression and they get in the fear. They don't know what to do. What am I going to do? What am I, how? And they're like, what am I? What am I? What am I? It's not about you. You're going to turn it over to God. You know, these same people are saying, what am I going to do? Their favorite scripture is casting my care upon the Lord, for he careth for me. All they sit on the floor and say, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? But you know what? I've been to those services. You know, actions speak louder than words. I've been to those casting the care services. And people cast all their stuff at the altar. They go to eat. And while they're eating, their cares are running home. So that way they're there when they get home. So they might have cast them, but they bring them all back. You know, maybe they, you know, they cast them with their fishing reel so that way they could reel it back in when they needed them. You know, and then I always, this is a joke, this is not real. I've always seen, you know, there are some people, if they didn't have any cares, I don't know what they'd do anyway. They'd be bored. Because all they have to, only thing they talk about is what, all their cares. what they're going through. In fact, there are some people, I don't want to ask them how their day is going. In fact, I should say, I don't care. Because all they'll tell you is how bad everything is. And then they'll say, well, glory be to God. I'm like, I should preach them a sermon. My music, I say, praise God, have a good day. Just, you know, because they wear you out. They're like, you know, well, you know, this happened and that happened and that happened, you know, but God's still on the throne. Well, I guess you have a good attitude, I guess, but you know, it's, you know, man, God loves us and he cares about us, but you know what? He will lead us and he'll guide us. And he'll give us wisdom. He'll give us knowledge. Now, one of the scriptures that I like to read is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 4, 5, and 6. And I want you to notice in those scriptures, Proverbs 3, actually verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will. I'm reading from the NLT. Well, I meant from reading from New King James, but it doesn't matter. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. You know, there's nothing in here about praying. It just says, trust in the Lord. Now, New King James says, trust the Lord with all your heart. You know, so you trust in the Lord. And as we trust in the Lord, he's going to give us wisdom and knowledge on what path to take. What's that mean? He's going to lead us and guide us. He's going to show us the way as we put our trust in him. But you know what? Our trust is not in ourselves. It doesn't say trust in yourself and what you're going to do, and he'll lead you. And it said, when you begin to trust in the Lord, then he'll lead you. You know, and sometimes we haven't got to the point, we're not trusting the Lord. We're trusting in our own emotions. We're trusting in our own knowledge. We're trusting in our own wisdom. And we already have this scripture. If we lack wisdom, ask. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And it says, do not lean to your own understanding. That's why I always tell people whenever they said, you know, Craig, I don't understand the faith stuff. I always say, well, you got it then. Well, but I don't understand it. No, you lean not to your own understanding. You don't have to understand it. Just trust God. Because see, I found out that understanding people, those are the how people. Maybe they're engineers. I don't know. And they're trying to figure out, how is this going to work? And my response is, I'm not God. I don't know how. The Bible never says, figure out how. Or figure out why this works. You know, I always think that it just works. I can't explain how. But you know what? I can't explain a lot of things about the Bible. About Jesus being born of a virgin. You know, you explain that one here. I don't know. How does that work? I don't know. But you know what? Doesn't make it not true. How does it work? And I said, you know, as a youth pastor, you know, I've seen a lot of virgins that had babies. It comes out eventually that they weren't a virgin. But, you know, when you're 15, sometimes, you know, you have... I've been told a few times that it was a virgin birth. So, interesting part about it. Now, I'm not sure whose idea it was, if it was the mom's or the dad's idea. But, you know, everything comes out in the wash. But, you know, I can't explain how. But it doesn't say, it doesn't ask me how. It says the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. So, you know what? If I don't know how, then I should turn to someone who does. There's only one person I know who knows how. I mean, you know, turn to God. Let him figure out how. It's not my responsibility to figure out how. It's my responsibility to ask. Whether it be in prayer, whether it be asked an immediate, if I need an immediate answer. But just ask. Just ask. And, you know, I'll refer to that verse that I talked about over in John 16, 13. No, that's not what I really wanted. It's a good verse too. I got a lot of verses all bookmarked here. John 15, 7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. You know what? If you abide in him, his words abide in you, just ask. And he'll give it to you. Well, he'll give it to you generously, not wavering. Just ask. You know, over in Proverbs 37, it says the steps of a righteous man, which would be a righteous woman as well, are ordered of God. So you know what? I know that God's ordered my steps. I know he's in control. You know, I know he's for me, not against me. Now, I want to look at two examples of Jesus in the Bible where he ministered some people when they were going through some stuff. And I think it's amazing what actually he did. I'll start first in Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, just to kind of give you a paraphrased version of what went on, that's a story about blind Bartimaeus, or I refer to him as blind Bart. And he was, you know, obviously he was blind. That's why blind was his first name. You know, not literally, Bart was the first name, I'm sure, but they called him blind Bart. And he was sat by the highway side begging. He was there at the gate there in Jericho. And Jesus was coming through that gate. And so a lot of people were there, and Jesus came through the gate, and blind Bart started yelling out, because, you know, he couldn't see. He couldn't go walk to Jesus. He couldn't get to him. So all he had was his voice begin to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Really, he was crying out, "Jesus, help me." Many people around him told him, "Be quiet," and, you know, he's bothering the master. "Master, you didn't have time for you. You're a lowly old beggar." And it says, instead of getting quieter, he got louder. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He began to yell and cry out. And then Jesus heard his call of faith. He heard someone needed help, and he stopped, because, you know, he was walking through the gate and going to where he was going. But at this point in time, he stopped and he commanded Bart, said, "Bart, come here." So Bart got there. Verse 51, he's there in front of Jesus. So, you know, it was pretty obvious Bart was blind. I think everybody in that area knew Bart was blind. One question about it. But I think it's interesting what Jesus said. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" What do you want, Bart? Really, what he was setting up for Bart to ask the question. You know, it says, "Ask what you will and it shall be done." What do you want? What do you want me to do? The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I might receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Now notice, we do see other places where Jesus ministered to blind people. And, you know, he's known for spitting on them, or spitting on the clay and making clay and spittle and putting it into people's eyes. And in both cases, he told them to go wash in a pool. So you would think, if here I'm a blind man, that's how you do it. He was probably got up there and waiting for Jesus to spit on the clay or spit in the guy's eyes and, you know, and go tell him to wash in a pool. But you know what? Just because something happened one time doesn't mean it happens, you know, all the time. Don't put your faith in things, because maybe that's where people's faith is. But notice in here, actually, that Jesus didn't spit on him. He didn't even touch the man. He never touched him. He said the words, "Your faith has made you well." Well, you know what? When you have questions, it's your faith that's going to give you the answer. Yeah, the answer will come through the God, but it's your faith in God, your faith that your God's able, that gives you the answer. It's your faith that activates everything. Do you believe or do you not believe? Because the answer comes when you believe. See, whenever I ask God, if I need instant wisdom, I should expect to get instant wisdom, because my God is a generous God. But you know what? A lot of times, the reason we don't ask is because we don't even believe if we did. We don't think, well, God can't hear me. Or sometimes we think, I haven't been a good enough Christian. Man, I haven't been to church in 3 weeks. My last offering I gave was I don't even know when. You know, we think, well, you know, there has to be some strings. You know, if I do the right things, then, you know, it's going to happen. No, he loves you unconditionally. And we know this when Jesus was hanging on the cross and they were making fun of him. And Jesus said, you know, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. Don't hold it to their account. That's how much God loves us. He loves us unconditionally. One more thing I want to read in over in Matthew concerning some blind men as well. Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 27, it says, "When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe I'm able to do this?'" So he asked them a question, "Do you believe?" And their answer, they said to him, "Yes, Lord." You know what? Actions speak louder than words. You know what? Anyone can say, "I believe." Anyone can say the words. But, you know, he wasn't asking for a confession. He wanted to truly know, do you believe or do you not believe? Then he goes on to say, then he touched her eyes. So this time he actually touched her eyes. But he didn't say, "Be healed." He said, "According to your faith, be it, let it be to you." And their eyes were open. And then Jesus warned them, saying, "See, no one knows it." But anyway, their eyes were open, but he said, "According to your faith, be it done unto you." Meaning if one guy had faith and one guy didn't, one guy gets healed, one guy doesn't get healed. Now, I think that's a big key, because you know what? When we ask, it's all according to our faith. Do we believe or do we not believe? Do we believe he's going to lead us and guide us and show us the way? Or do we not believe? Because a lot of times the reason we get upset or the reason we get depressed is because we don't really believe he's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. He's going to show us the way. Because our trust is not wholehearted in our God. Our trust is on our own knowledge, our own understanding. But the Bible says to lean not to your own understanding. So it's just acknowledge God. You know, sometimes people ask me, "Well, how's it going?" I said, "Oh, I got it all worked out." Maybe I don't have it all worked out. But you know what? My God does. I'm not lying. I cast it over to him. You know what? Really, in these situations, the pressure's on God, not on you. Now, if the pressure's on you, then you don't trust in God. The pressure should be on God. Now, but you know what? God's not feeling no pressure. He doesn't feel pressure. You know, just like, obviously, we all saw the game last night. Now we go to a game 7. There's a lot of pressure, both teams. You know, but you know what? Usually, the team who doesn't really feel the pressure is the one who usually ends up winning. They just go out and do what they're supposed to do. But here's the thing. God doesn't feel pressure. He's just God. Remember, this is the same person that says, "Let there be light," and the light appeared. So you think your measly thing that you need, you know, your $500 extra you need to meet your bills this month, how hard, I mean, we're talking about the guy who turned the lights on. I mean, I'm not talking about the lights on in your room. I'm talking about that turned all the lights on. Before that, there was darkness. You know, but see, we don't necessarily think about our God and what he's done. But you know what? Walk outside. I understand, you know, we don't live in the mountains, you know, but so it's hard to see the mountains. But you can see, you know, all that God's created and think about. This is what my God did. Now, I like whenever I see the mountains and the oceans white with foam, you know all the you know, things that then you see the big mountain and think, you know what? My God created that. You know, it makes me proud. I mean, you know, my daddy did that. But you know what? Your daddy has much more power. And the way you unlock that is just believe. Just believe he can lead you. Just believe he can guide you. Just believe that your steps are ordered of God. Just believe, you know what? Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Doesn't matter if you're a preacher or not a preacher. God loves you. He cares about you. And he wants you to make it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person here. We thank you, Father, right now, that they won't necessarily remember this sermon right now, but they'll remember it whenever they're facing their worst times, when things are going bad. Maybe they need an instant answer. Father God, we just thank you that they'll remember that they can immediately ask for wisdom. They can immediately depend upon you to give them strength and wisdom and knowledge and understanding about situations they're going through and order their steps and lead them and guide them in every step of the way. And Father God, help us to understand that our God's in control, that he has this whole thing in control, that the whole world's still in his hands. Help us understand that we can go through life and we can have life more abundantly whenever we can just lay aside our weights and the things that hold us back, but move forward with the things of God. And if we need wisdom, let us ask. Let us just believe God, and he will grant forth it liberally. Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here. We thank you. You have a plan and purpose for their life, and they will fulfill that plan and purpose. But Father God, we thank you if someone's here not saved, they don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, they won't leave this place without the saving knowledge of Him. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, man, I know God, but I kind of turned my back and I went away. I want to come back home. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you're here and you've never been saved or you want to rededicate your life to God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I know what it is to be saved. I'm saved. I'm on the way to heaven. But I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. However, you guys talk about that, and talk about a prayer language, and that prayer language kind of scared me away, and I've never experienced that. But I'm telling you, man, you need to experience that. If that's you, you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you get that experience. So if that's you, anybody here want to be filled with the Spirit of God, we want to pray with you. I'll see your hands. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here not saved. We thank you, Father, for sin that labors across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, to help them come to the saving knowledge of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. If you're here tonight and you need healing in your body, I don't care how big or how small. I don't care if you have a cold or cancer, AIDS or asthma. Anyone needs healing in their body, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you before we go. Anybody need healing? We have one coming down. Anybody else? You know, sometimes people won't move until somebody else moves. Amen. So, you know, it's always good when the first person moves. That way they're free to move. You know, and I've heard people say, well, it's okay. I can deal with this cold. You know, maybe you can, but why? Well, you don't have to. God wants it under control. Amen. Let me talk to you guys first of all. First of all, remember, I'm not the healer. Jesus is. Amen. Jesus is healing. Your faith needs to be in Him. I'm going to ask you, first of all, just close your eyes and lift both hands toward heaven. And I want you to think about two things. I want you to think about your healing and Jesus Christ. That's all you want you to think about. Now, I'm going to pray a prayer right here. Then I'm going to lay my hands upon you. I don't know what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do. Don't worry about that. I want to tell you that the healing power of God will hit your body. You might fall over. You might not fall over. It doesn't matter whether you fall. Falling does not heal you. But that power of God will hit your body. And as soon as it does, I want you to say, I got it. It's mine. I have it now. Take hold of it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the healing anointing. We thank you, Father, right now as we lay hands upon the sick. We thank you, Father, that anointing will saturate their body and their life and go from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And we thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, oh, that's it right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of there it is. That's it right there. Be healed now from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. There it is. Amen. Amen. God's a good God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, continue to remember this holiday weekend, you know, as you're having your barbecue or whatever. You know what? It's also been good this weekend. You know, we hadn't got all the rain they said they were going to get. So far, it's been good. You know, so that's been a good thing. But as you have your barbecues tomorrow and you're eating your hot dogs or whatever, you know, remember the men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice, you know, so we can have freedom. We can have our barbecues. We can have our good. There's nothing wrong with having a good time, you know. You know, enjoy your day off. You know, it's kind of the beginning of summer. Amen. It's always a wonderful time. Well, you know, and also remember dad and mom and you know, the tour group as they're going and all over Israel. And, you know, keep praying for them. They're having a good time. I'll be back with you next Sunday night. Amen. It'll be a wonderful time. The way we dismiss around here, you know, I'll be back at that door. If you don't want to shake my hand, there's a door over there. No. Don't forget, next week, 6 p.m., Sunday night. Have a wonderful week. God bless you guys. Take care.